As always, if you're here this morning, you got a Bible, or you got one in front of you, or you got a device or of something like that, let's open up into the New Testament. Here we are in 1 Peter, and we're going to look at chapter 4. I want to read a piece of this to you. I was just journeying through my devotion time every morning, like most of us do. We open the scriptures up, we just read a portion of scripture, we pray, and I just was reading there. I just was like, wow, that's just, it's so rich, and there's so much happening there. I just want to kind of look at a few of those parts. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, we look at the first 6 verses. It says, therefore, which I love, which is always so good because it's going to kind of give us a bit of a conclusion or a wrapping up thought. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. And I will look at that in detail for about the majority of our message, but let's keep reading verse 2. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for human desires, but rather for the will of God. So what are human desires? Here are some of them in verse 3. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. In verse 4, they think it's strange that you do not join them with this and in the same wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Why don't you do these things with us? In verse 5, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. So the very first thought here, that if we don't understand out of the gate what we're talking about, the rest of it doesn't make a lot of sense. We're like, well, it's a little bit judgmental, it's a little bit hard, there's a lot of judging, live this way, don't live that way. But the very first part is therefore, in verse 1, since Christ suffered in his body. Christ suffered in his body for a reason. This morning we come and we celebrate, we sing songs about, you know, I'm free in Jesus, and Jesus lifted all my burdens, and praise the Lord. But Christ suffered in his body for a reason. Now, think about the writer here. This is Peter. It's not 1 Peter. It's like this, just the first letter he wrote, but just Peter. We know Peter from the New Testament, walking around with Jesus. We know Peter, that he watched his Savior die. He was there. I know that he kind of, the rooster crowed 3 times. He kind of ran off, but he was still around. He was there. And he heard what Jesus told him, what it meant to suffer. What was suffering about? How was suffering helpful? I don't really like suffering. Who wants to sign up for suffering? What kind of message is this about suffering? But it's serious. We've got to understand what they're saying. Made them to suffer so that they would understand there's some faith here. We understand suffering. They worried that everything was going wrong. Back then, when Jesus was arrested and crucified and went to the tomb, it felt like everything was going wrong at that point in life. You think, oh my gosh, where is the gospel? Where is Jesus? He's supposed to be the Son of God. What is going on? We might feel the same when all of a sudden pain and, you know, torment and torture and different things coming up. Where's God in all this? Well, I don't understand what's going on. Has God still on the throne? Is he taking a vacation? You know, it's not a good time to take vacation, but you know, where is this guy? And I'm not talking about the kind of suffering that we do to ourselves foolishly sometimes. You know, when we're up a ladder and it's rainy and slippery and then we fall and break our leg. That does happen. It just happened this last week, actually. Or, you know, we park our car and somebody, our very first car, and somebody backs into it or hits it like 4 times your first car. You're like, that's suffering. But I'm not talking about that kind of suffering. I'm not talking about going to a work yard where you're picking out some concrete blocks for your house. And in the work yard, there's this clay, and it just gets on your feet. And you know when your feet get really heavy? And then you get in your truck, and there's mud and clay in your truck. And then you go to the house, and it's in your driveway. Then you bring it in the house, and all of a sudden, you're in trouble. Like, not that kind of suffering. I'm not talking about that kind of suffering. Like, that's intentional. We've done that to ourselves. But I'm talking about the kind of suffering that when you live for Christ, when you live for the morals and values and standards of the Word of God, and you're judged for that, that's suffering. That's real suffering. I don't know your story. I'm sure all of us could share one. Here's the mic. We'll just pass it around. Everybody could share one at least of you standing for God in a fallen and broken world and you being judged for that and you inquiring some suffering for that. I don't know your personal family. I know mine. I'm maybe first generation Christian. I've tried to witness to some of my family before and they've just not gone over super well, let's be honest with you. We're not live this morning because our live stream isn't working, so we'll cut that out later because maybe my family is watching and we'll get myself into trouble here. But not that kind of suffering. I'm talking about the suffering for Christ. And so when we look here at Peter understands suffering. He understands the day when he was being confronted with people like, do you know Jesus? And he was afraid to admit that. He would have suffered, I can tell you that. If he would have said, yeah, Jesus is my boss, and you know, Jesus went to the cross, he might be hanging right next to him. Right? There would have been some serious suffering going on, but Peter knows what it means to say no. And so he's convicted. He changes his tune here. And so in Peter, let's look at this. Just the very first chapter, we'll look at an overarching theme of Peter here. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. I'm going to find places to rejoice even if there's some suffering. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though we have not seen him, we love him. Even though we do not see him now, we believe in him, and we are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We are receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. So in that midst of all of that, when tough times come, when we suffer all kinds of grief and all kinds of trials, we don't, you know, have a pity party. I mean, it's okay to mourn and grieve and to be sad, but in the midst of that, we could praise, we can bring glory, we can bring honor to Christ. It's an inexpressible and glorious joy. People will say to you in life often, when a difficult situation is brought to your attention, or you're walking through a difficult situation, and they'll say, where is this joy coming from that you bring? Where is this inexpressible excitement for life that you have? Because we live for Christ. We live for Jesus. And even in the midst of, no matter what comes your way, you can find joy in the midst of that. That doesn't make sense here. It makes sense here, and it makes sense in there. So we have to turn this thing off sometimes. We have to find joy in the midst of whatever is coming our way. The way to deal with suffering is always to remember what Jesus taught us. Okay, Pastor Rob, that's some nice ideas, but, you know, show me scripture. Oh, absolutely, let's go there. Let's go to chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you. We all know that. Okay. Yes, I understand that. Christ suffered for me because we're all sinners and we all put things on Jesus, so we have to go to the cross. Leaving you an example. Whoa, okay, now I'm paying attention here. That you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He trusted himself to God. For he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And this is where the context lands. By his wounds you were healed. We pray that for each other all the time, don't we? We say, oh, by the stripes that Jesus took and bore on his own body, in Jesus' name be healed. But then we see the context of where that lands, that Jesus left an example that as we suffer, that there might become some healing in us. I don't like that cup of tea. That cup of tea doesn't taste so good. I like healing. Check, ding. But suffering, no thanks. So those got to go together, though. We can't just have, oh, suffering. You know, people have really taken that out of context and thought, you know, I'm going to walk around with a whip. I'm going to whip my back. You know, oh, Jesus' name. Jesus suffered a whip. I'm going to whip myself. I'm going to just suffer for Christ. What kind of suffering is that? What is that going to produce? But in the midst of whatever you face, that it can actually bring healing to your body. I need some physical healing. My body is acting up a little bit weird. I need some spiritual healing. I need healing in my mind. And in the midst of that, in some capacities, suffering might bring you some healing. Not all the time. Please don't bend that out of shape thinking like, oh, well, I better ask for some suffering so that way I can be healed. This is an if and when it happens. Don't disregard it. These things will happen. leaving us an example. God left us an example. Don't retaliate against it. Don't fight against it. Don't, you know, go against God's will. Here we go. That same thought, though, when we think about by his wounds you have been healed. Let's just flip back just for a moment. We'll kind of put a pause in there. Put the phone. Isaiah chapter 53. You'll remember by his wounds we have been healed. We would think about Old Testament Isaiah. So here we go with the same train of thought. Verses 4 to 6 in Isaiah 53. Surely he took up your infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So we see very, very clearly here about what caused those things. That was some serious suffering. That by those wounds, we were healed. Let's look at that just for a second. Okay, so here we go. We got the Bible. If you have your phone out, I don't know where how you find the middle of your phone, but anyways, there you go. Here's your Bible. And if we look at it just from an overarching perspective, look at the Bible there for a sec. We look back at the beginning, you know, before, after the index, all that kind of stuff. We look at Genesis. We go back to the back after all those maps. You know, we find Revelation there. But in Genesis, God created humanity. And he says, I would like to be with my people. I want to walk and talk with my people. And then like all of us would have, we would have foolishly looked at a tree and looked at some, you know, whatever your forbidden kind of fruit is, whatever that happened to be, you know, your go-to fruit, you know, mine's mango, yours might be pineapple, yours, you know, whatever kind of, it doesn't matter what kind of fruit was hanging there, it's just hanging there, papayas, whatever you want to think. Whatever yours is like, I can't resist that fruit. You go and take it. And so now we're separated from God. There's a separation from the Lord. And all through the Old Testament, we see the separation. And Isaiah says, there will be a day coming when somebody will make a way for us, that Jesus will come and suffer and take all of that sin so that we can get back to this relationship with God. And when we see in the Old Testament, it was a lot of slaughtering. We talked about in the last couple of weeks, there was all the sacrifice and blood and stuff going on. But we see in the New Testament, Jesus took all that upon himself that we can be in right standing and that every single person can have a relationship with Christ and walk into the Holy of Holies, walk into a relationship, have eternity, have salvation, all that kind of stuff. And that's the overarching theme, by his wounds. That's the whole purpose of this thing. That's the whole point of this thing, is that Jesus would come and take all of it upon himself, all that suffering and pain, so that we could be healed. Without that, we don't have a gospel. Without that, we don't have church. Without that, we don't have faith. Without that, we don't, you know, all of that came about. So often we just sit here and say, oh, that was great. Almost like our church building. That was great. You know, in 1990, somebody suffered and, you know, worked all day, came here at night, pulled wires, gave money, built this whole building. Well, that's nice. Look at me. I'm doing well. It's easy. So comfortable. But never forget. Never forget what Jesus did for you. He suffered. Like he seriously, physically suffered. So that we don't just like, oh, you suffered. No, so that we could be healed in Jesus' name. That's the scripture here. That's the point of this message. That's the point of that scripture. Therefore, we could be healed in Jesus' name. So Peter wants to wrap it all up in his first book to, you know, who he's writing to. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, he kind of just puts a seal on this thing in verse 6. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him by standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the whole world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Do you see that sandwich there? I love how, you know, the scripture just sandwiched that. Verse 7, cast all your anxiety, all of our worries on him, because we know that everybody on the whole planet is undergoing suffering, because we don't need to worry about the lion that is looking to devour us. So you got two choices there in a sense. You can just hang on to all your anxiety. You can just think that I'm the only person suffering here this morning. Everybody else has it together. You ever have that feeling when you first get saved, you come to church, you're like, oh, everyone else looks so happy. Everyone else got it together. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm the one suffering. You just want to leave. You feel like you're completely out to lunch. And God is saying here, bring all your anxiety and know that every person that's sitting here is suffering so that you can be healed, so that it makes no room for the enemy. Let's see where that lands. Be self-controlled, because your enemy is looking to devour us. He's looking to trip us up. He's looking to take us out. He's looking to, you're suffering. God hates you. You're an idiot. You're a moron. Well, look what you're doing. Look at this bad. Oh, blah, blah, blah. All this kind of stuff. And God's saying, cast that all on me. That's why I went to the cross for you. Just give it to me. I'll carry it for you. You don't need to carry it. You don't need to worry about it. We've got to understand, so important, that every person undergoes similar sufferings. If you have it all together this morning, I'm going to leave the platform. Why don't you come and preach, and you're perfect, and you have no problems, there's no suffering, you never experienced anything bad in your life. Like, let me see a hand here. Like, there just isn't one. Maybe if there, where's a baby? Let me grab a baby here. I don't know. Like, birth, that sounds a little bit painful. It might have been some sufferings. You came through the canal. But anyways, like, a little baby didn't do much. There's nothing much to talk about. Well, he can't even talk anyways. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? But after that point, there's some suffering. There are some things that you're going to face. And don't carry it alone. Why would we carry that? Why do we look at others and go, I think you guys have it together. I don't know what I'm doing. What am I doing wrong? You know, Pastor, help me here. That was only point number one, for crying out loud. That was point number two. Here we go. Okay, so again, we've got to understand that's so important that, you know, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, again, we can't just speed read that. We've got to understand some context of that. Look at the second part of that verse. Arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. See, the example of Christ is saying that with the same kind of attitude, we are to arm ourselves. And when we think about arming ourselves, like my mind goes, and maybe I'm a male, my mind goes to like arming ourselves. Like it's an army and there's a fight and I need to put on some armor and I need to defend myself. And that's what it could refer to in a sense. It's like, we've got to be ready. We've got to have the words. We've got to have the right attitude. And so we are ready to go to battle. And when we come to Christ, I don't know your life prior to Christ, but what Jesus did for me in my life at the age of 23, how he radically transformed my life, I will go to battle for him. I will fight for him. And if somebody's going to challenge me on my faith in Jesus, I will stand up to them because of what he did for me. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to beg. I stand for Christ. I stand for Jesus. I stand for God's morals. I stand for God's standards. I stand for his values. And you will not teach my kids things that are outside of that in Jesus' name. You know, I will fight those things. That's a little bit of a rabbit trail there. Just going to put a seed in your head. I apologize for that. But we will face these kind of things in the world. And so as we arm ourselves with the word of God, as we arm ourselves with the support of each other, as we arm ourselves with like-mindedness like Christ, it says, have that same kind of an attitude that Jesus had. Okay, how do I have a Jesus attitude? Well, the word there, attitude, can also be translated into a thought. Have the same kind of thoughts as Christ Jesus. And so if we were to look quickly, we go back just a little bit in Hebrews chapter 4. It's the only other place where this word attitude or thought turns up in the whole New Testament, only twice. Here we go, Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So we've got to have the right thoughts and the right attitudes about who we are in Christ. That's what it's challenging us. And I love this idea that it says, and the word of God is active. Now, I really want to, as we do annually, we usually have a 24-hour prayer time. We're just like, sign up for an hour and come to the church and pray. And that's a good thing to do. We'll probably do that again at some point. I want to do something new at some point, maybe at the end of this year or the new year. I want to have a 24-hour read the Bible time. We start in the book of Genesis. You sign up for an hour. You just start reading through Genesis. You know, I don't know who's going to get to those other, you know, books that maybe they want to skip over. Like, I'm going to go about like near the end of the book, you know, sign up kind of time. But I think that the Word of God has the power to change thoughts and attitudes about our country, about our community, about people that are suffering, about people that are far from Christ. And I'm all for, like, come here for an hour and pray. And I will pray to God, and I'll try and use the best words that I can. But I think that reading God's word has more power and more authority over our country. Wouldn't that be a fun thought for 24 hours? Just like, and then he said, and then we'll turn the mic, we'll put a mic here, so just burst, you know, turn up the volume, right? We'll just read scripture, the power of scripture going up. Wouldn't that just be fun? Over some suffering, hurting communities in the world. That just is exciting to me. I want to do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. So we arm ourselves. So let me show you just a couple ways that we arm ourselves. So if you want to flip there, it's fine. We're going to move quickly, though. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, as we put on the word of God, as we put on Jesus, we're putting on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. As we have the word of God, we can actually break down chains and walls and addictions and problems and all these kind of things we see in our society with the word of God, because it has the power to do that. That's why we stand here this morning. We stand in victory. We stand rejoicing that something's happening in the spiritual realm. Ephesians 6:11 says, put the full armor of God so that you may take a stand against the devil's schemes. How do I fight the things that are going on in my life? How do I, you know, come against those things? It's why we put on the word of God. Oh, I'm suffering. Oh, but I'm just, here's my answer. You know, it's like we got a headache. Oh, man, I get migraine headaches sometimes. I just want to cry. It says, then I go to my pill bottle. You know, give me some pills, you know, take some pills, right? Go to sleep. But like, if we're suffering at all, like, go to the remedy. Go to the word. It wants to speak to you. It wants to change your life. Okay, a couple more thoughts here. Let's unpack just a bit more of this verse. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. They think it's strange that you don't join with them in the same wild living and the heap abuse on you. So if we saw in the previous verse, I don't want to read chapter or verse 3 again, just a little bit, about the way that the world was living, that we live differently, they might heap abuse on you for not, you know, joining them. In verse 16 of chapter 3. Let's just go back one chapter so it kind of makes it clear why that's important. In chapter 3, verse 16, it's keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It's better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Now, just a personal thought about just my own life. So when I was unsaved the first 23 years of my life, and then God just radically saved me, you know, not addicted to drugs, alcohol, swearing, all that kind of stuff anymore, and I tried to hang around with the same friends, and they would say, you know, passing things around, and why don't, and I'm like, actually, I don't want to do that anymore. And they're like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, what do you, like, we're, this is what we do. Like, I don't understand you. What's changed? What's going on? I said, and of course, I'm like just saved. I don't understand God. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong, but I don't want to do that anymore. And they would judge me for that. Well, why not engage in this stuff? You did this for like the last 10 years with us. Why now? Why have you changed? And I just said, there's this standard again, right? I don't want that anymore. My behavior has changed, and I might get judged for that. And don't be ashamed of that. Don't be afraid of that. And so I love how Peter writes this. It just flows like it's like for me. I just keep it simple, Peter. Don't mess around. So if we read in chapter 4, it's about living for God. How do we live for God? How do we, you know, overcome suffering? And then the very last thing here he says in this chapter, suffering for being a Christian. Just the subheading. Most Bibles will have that right now. The Bible in your pew has that. The Bible in your chair has that. Suffering for being a Christian. I'm like, I don't want to read that part. I don't want to suffering for being a Christian. I want to be a Christian and just be liked by everybody. Suffering for being a Christian. Here it comes in chapter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't we feel like that sometimes? This is strange. I don't understand what's going on here. This doesn't make any sense. In the midst of all of that, though, in verse 13, but rejoice that your patience in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. be patient, rejoice, wait for his second coming in the midst of suffering. No, Lord, I don't want that. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, that's got to be bad. That can't be right. You are blessed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory of God rests on you. Oh, that's good, eh? If you suffer, you should not be as a murderer, a thief, or any kind of criminal or a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, look how just simplistic this is. Don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Like, you didn't know Christ. You weren't in a relationship with Jesus. You get to know Christ, and then you endure some suffering. Like, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I want. But when you do that, rejoice that you bear the name. Like, it's branded on me. I can't help but be Christian. I can't help but walk around and want to be different than what the world is doing. So therefore, in verse 1 again of 1 Peter, the whole thing that we were talking about, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, absolutely, arm yourselves also with that same kind of attitude, that same kind of thought, because he who has suffered in his body is done away with sin. It's one way, not the only way, don't bend this out of shape, it's one way that we can deal with sin. It's one way that we can get away from sin, to realize that Christ suffered for us and that we are healed through that. Isn't that just a wonderful, deep thought in Jesus' name? Let me close in a prayer. So, Father, this morning, we rejoice in your word. Father, sometimes it's hard to read your word when it just, in my mind, it just doesn't add up or make sense. But I know deep in my heart that the word is truth, and that it speaks to me, and that it encourages me, and that it helps me in my day-to-day life. God, there are areas of my life right now that I am suffering in. I don't understand. But your word brings light to that. It illuminates these areas. And so thank you for revealing yourself more and more to us today. Father, we want to grow and mature, and we want to get closer to you. We can't do that on our own, so help us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So at this point in our service, again, if you're new, you're visiting, just so you know, we kind of open up what we call the altar up here. There's usually a couple people at the front ready to pray with you. So if you want to come and just spend time with the Lord, you want to come and pray with somebody, feel free to do that. You don't need to be a member of our church. You just have to have a need. Love to pray for you. The second thing is, though, so Pete's about to sing the song that he picked out, Send Me. And as always, most of you know here, I'm here Saturday night. Some people drive by the church when I'm here late at night. They honk because they can see me in my office and wave. I'm like, stop honking at the neighbors. They're going to be mad at us. But I'm here preparing, and I usually would put on one of the songs that's picked today just to kind of prep myself. And I just put the song on. I just really sensed that it was a leading of the Lord. And so in the song that we're about to sing, there is a verse. I won't sing it. I promise you that would not be good. If it means that they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey. Here I am. Send me. If it means that they will reject me, my relationship with Christ is more valuable than anything else in this world, I will be rejected. And I'm okay with that. Not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to understand you. Not everyone's going to believe in the Word of God. But I believe. And I believe that this church is full of believers. And I believe that this church is full of people that are kingdom-minded, that are Christ followers, that love Jesus with all their heart, and nothing will change that. Nothing will hinder that. So praise God. I just pray as we sing this song that it will be from the depth of our innermost being. It won't just be words on a screen, but you will actually mean what you are singing. So let's stand in closing one last time together as we sing together.